McJobs by Eric Schlosser. For almost 200 years, Martinsburg, West Virginia was a sleepy little community at the northern tip of the Shenandoah Valley. The town was founded in 1778 and named after Thomas Bryan Martin, an officer during the Revolutionary War. The first settlers came there on horseback along the Cumberland Trail, an important trade route in the early 19th century, and cleared the land for farming. The land was perfect for growing apple trees, and soon more apples were being grown in the Martinsburg area than almost anywhere else in the world. A number of Civil War battles were fought in the area, but on the whole, life in Martinsburg was peaceful and calm year after year. A railroad passed through the city center, and a few factories were built nearby. As workers moved into houses downtown, small businesses opened to serve them. At J.C. McRory Company 5 and 10 cent store, you could buy socks and pants. At John W. Dean Company, you could find children's shoes. H.L. Dahl and Company was a popular hardware store. And the Alice Governess Confectionery on South Queen Street was the place to go for ice cream, candy, and chocolates. All of these stores were owned by people who lived in Martinsburg, and farmers from throughout the county came into town to do their shopping. The tip-top restaurant at 119 North Queen Street sold a mean corned beef hash with meat from nearby farms. The town didn't have a single McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, or KFC, and yet, somehow, people still managed to eat. In the mid-1960s, a 26-mile stretch of Interstate 81 opened on the western edge of Martinsburg. The new four-lane highway changed the town forever, connecting it to two big cities about an hour and a half's drive away, Washington, D.C., and Baltimore, Maryland. Life in Martinsburg soon began shifting west, toward Interstate 81, as though pulled by an irresistible force. The automobile now determined where and how people lived. All along the interstate, fast food restaurants and chain stores started to open. Family-owned historic businesses downtown closed. And Martinsburg started to look just like any other sprawling American suburb. You could pick just about any city in the United States and see how fast food and the automobile have changed it over the past few decades. The kind of suburban development that was once found only in Los Angeles has spread across the country, and with it has come a feeling of sameness and a loss of what was once special, unique, and memorable about these places. Today, Martinsburg no longer has the feeling of a sleepy little town. The number of people living in the area has more than doubled since 1970. Martinsburg now sits in one of the fastest-growing counties in the United States. Many of the new residents moved there from Baltimore or Washington, D.C., hoping to escape city life and enjoy being in the countryside. But so many people have arrived that the countryside is quickly vanishing. When you drive outside Martinsburg, you see piles of apple trees beside the road, dug up at their roots, making way for new housing developments. In 1942, there were about 3 million apple and peach trees in the area. Today, there are about 300,000. The last remaining farmers are selling their land to real estate developers, and new neighborhoods with names like Quail Ridge and Sycamore Village cover the rolling hills. Fields where apple orchards once stretched as far as the eye could see now lie buried beneath thousands of nearly identical two-story houses. After the highway opened, most of the family-run stores in downtown Martinsburg closed. People now do most of their shopping on a mile-long strip near Interstate 81, a stretch of land that used to be part of two farms. During the 1980s, the land was sold to a real estate developer for $350,000. Over the next 20 years, the developer earned more than $30 million selling pieces of the land and bringing in chain stores from out of state. Today, the hotels, motels, restaurants, and stores along the strip are exactly the same ones you find all over the United States. Days Inn, Holiday Inn, Office Max and Walmart, Hampton Inn and JCPenney, Waffle House and Outback Steakhouse. The neon lights along the strip, the rush hour traffic, the acres of pavement, and the boxy, soulless buildings create the sort of feeling that songwriter Joni Mitchell once described. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. In 1970, Martinsburg had 6 fast food restaurants. Today, it has more than 40. The fast food chains profit from the new suburban sprawl, encourage more sprawl, and help determine what the sprawl looks like. They build large signs to attract motorists and try to draw as many cars as possible into their parking lots. They love traffic, lots of it, and put new restaurants at intersections where traffic is likely to increase, where development is just getting started. Fast food restaurants often serve as the first wave of sprawl, rolling into a new area and then starting a flood of identical stores. Whenever a new McDonald's opens, other fast food restaurants soon open nearby, convinced that it must be a good location. The McDonald's Corporation has perfected the art of choosing the best places for new restaurants. In the early days, Ray Kroc flew in a small airplane looking for schools so that he could open new restaurants near them. "When you're up 1,000 feet in the air," Kroc once told a journalist, "you can see the schools and the traffic patterns, and you put all that together, now you're not looking at a town, you're looking at a market." McDonald's later used helicopters to help figure out how suburbs were growing, looking for cheap land along new highways and roads. The company sought places where lots of cars would drive past and children would live nearby. During the 1980s, McDonald's became one of the world's largest purchasers of satellite photographs taken from outer space, using them to get an even better view of local neighborhoods. What might seem confusing to someone on the ground, the relationship between one street and another, the distance between one highway off-ramp and another, looked clear in photos taken miles above the Earth. Soon, other companies started buying satellite photographs, and a technology that was originally invented to help the U.S. military spy on its enemies became one more tool to help fast food chains sell more hamburgers. Just add hot water. Danielle Brent is a 17-year-old senior at Martinsburg High School. On Saturday mornings, the alarm in her cell phone goes off at 5:30. It's still dark outside as she stumbles into the bathroom, takes a shower, puts on her makeup, and gets into her McDonald's uniform. Her father stays in bed, but her mom always comes downstairs to the kitchen and says goodbye before Danielle leaves for work. Sometimes it's really cold in the morning, and it takes a while for the engine of the family's old Nissan Maxima to start cranking out heat. There are a lot of things Danielle would rather be doing early Saturday morning, such as sleeping. But like thousands of other American kids her age, she gets up and goes to work at a fast food restaurant. It's a 10-minute drive to McDonald's, and by the time Danielle gets there, the manager and a few workers are already there unloading paper cups and wrappers from the storage area. They're also removing the frozen pancakes, frozen bacon, frozen McGriddle biscuits, and frozen McMuffins from the freezer. Occasionally, they're all so busy that they don't even notice that Danielle's arrived, and she has to bang loudly on the back door until the manager lets her in. Fast food chains often put attractive girls behind the counter to deal with customers, and that's where Danielle works. The first thing she does at the restaurant is log on to the cash register, punching the last 4 digits of her social security number into the touchscreen. Then she grabs a cup of coffee to clear her head before the doors open and customers start pouring in. She usually doesn't feel awake until 10 or 11 o'clock, about halfway through her shift. But that grogginess never gets in the way of her job. Danielle thinks she could operate the cash register, as well as most of the other fancy machines, in her sleep. Up and down the Interstate 81 strip, teenagers like Danielle run the fast food restaurants of Martinsburg. The same is true throughout the rest of the country. No other industry has a workforce so dominated by teens. Teenagers open the fast food outlets in the morning, close them at night, and keep them going at all hours in between. Even the managers and assistant managers are sometimes in their teens. Unlike Olympic gymnastics, a sport at which teenagers tend to be better than adults, the work in a fast food kitchen doesn't require young workers. Instead of relying on a small, stable, well-paid, and well-trained workforce, the fast food industry seeks out part-time, unskilled workers who are willing to accept low pay. Teenagers have long been the perfect candidates for these jobs. They usually don't have a family to support, and their youthful inexperience makes them easier to control than adults. The labor practices of the food industry have their origins in the assembly line systems that were adopted by American factories in the early 20th century. Although the McDonald's brothers never studied how to manage a factory, they understood the basic thinking and applied it to the speedy service system. Ever since then, the system they developed has been widely used and carefully improved. The kind of thinking behind the assembly line remains at its core. As a result, the fast food industry has changed the way millions of Americans work and turned restaurant kitchens into little food factories. At Burger King restaurants, Frozen hamburger patties are placed on a conveyor belt and come out of a broiler 90 seconds later fully cooked. The ovens at Pizza Hut and at Domino's often use conveyor belts. The ovens at McDonald's look like commercial laundry presses, with big steel hoods that swing down and grill hamburgers on both sides at once. The burgers, chicken, French fries, and buns are all frozen when they arrive at a McDonald's. The shakes and sodas begin as syrup. At Taco Bell restaurants, the food is assembled, not prepared. The avocado dip isn't freshly made by workers in the kitchen. It's made at a gigantic factory in Michoacán, Mexico, then frozen and shipped to the United States. The meat at Taco Bell arrives frozen and pre-cooked in vacuum-sealed plastic bags. The beans are dehydrated and look like brownish cornflakes. The cooking process is fairly simple. "Everything's add water," a Taco Bell employee says. "Just add hot water." Although Richard and Mac McDonald introduced the speedy service system, it was a McDonald's executive named Fred Turner who perfected it. In 1958, Turner wrote a training manual for the company that was 75 pages long. It was a book of instructions that described how almost everything had to be done. Hamburgers were always to be placed on the grill in 6 neat rows. French fries had to be exactly 0.28 inches thick. Today, the McDonald's manual has 10 times the number of pages and weighs about 4 pounds. Known within the company as the Bible, it tells workers exactly how various appliances should be used, how each item on the menu should look, and how customers should be greeted. Cooking instructions are not only printed in this manual, they are often designed into the machines. A McDonald's kitchen is full of buzzers and flashing lights that tell workers what to do. At some fast food restaurants, computerized cash registers give commands. Once an order has been placed, buttons light up and suggest other menu items that could be added. Workers at the counter are encouraged to increase the size of an order by recommending special value deals, dessert, a larger soda. While doing so, they are told to be upbeat and friendly toward customers. "Smile with a greeting and make a positive first impression," a Burger King training manual suggests. "Show them you are glad to see them. Include eye contact with the cheerful greeting." The strict rules at fast food restaurants help to create food that always tastes the same. They help workers fill orders quickly, and they give fast food companies an enormous amount of power over workers. When all the knowledge is built into the operating system and the machines in the kitchen, a restaurant no longer needs skilled workers. It just needs people who are willing to do as they're told. Workers who lack skills can be hired cheaply. Instead of celebrating individual talent, the system seeks workers who are interchangeable. It seeks workers who can easily be hired, fired, and replaced.